Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis to player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be breaking down the Clásico hangover. That is the fact that we had Clásico after Clásico after Clásico. We'll talk about the goods and all the negatives about all of that. And then, of course, we'll get you guys caught up today with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. And then, of course, we have the international break, which means Tour Águila to talk to as well. And joining me to do all of that and much more, it is none other than a returning co-host. It is the main man himself, the Carnicero, Mr. Brian. Brian, how are we doing this evening?
Doing pretty good. A lot to take in, digest about all the Clásicos, but they're all wrapped up, and the main thing is América advances on. I think that's the biggest takeaway so far.
We'll definitely look at the bigger picture, and we'll refine it and look it into a little bit more of a smaller frame of things, but I think you mentioned that the most important part of this is the fact that América does end up getting the pass into the next round of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and you still sit very high at the table, only, I think, 3 points behind Monterrey now. But you sit in second place, which is not a bad way to kind of go into the international break. So let's dive in there. Let's talk about it, because Brian, these past two Clásicos were the worst I've seen América play Clásico-wise in a long time, right? Probably maybe about a year ago when we got that defeat in the playoffs, in the semifinal. But even then, I think there was just this different essence of we got played out in one game, and in the other, it just felt like we were very much gassed at the end.
Yeah, no. Specifically talking about the second leg, I felt like they fell for the trap that was set in place, which was get ready for emotion, get ready for a very pressing, high-energy game. And I was a little disappointed that they weren't ready for that. It was a very lazy first few minutes, couldn't get a counter going. And what we said before, at least I did, I said, if they can get the counter, then Chivas is in trouble. But what happened was, what do we say? You can't rule out an early goal. It happened, and then Chivas was... they had the momentum. So I was disappointed in that, just in that aspect.
What do you think went wrong in that sense? Because I think anyone could have predicted that she was going to come out guns blazing. Why was it that América were so kind of stunned by Chivas? Or was it more so that, you know, maybe just the players were overconfident and they just thought, even if they get a goal, it's not going to matter. It's game's already set and done.
I think you have a couple factors. Number one, you have a huge lead. So you have a 3-0, which you achieved on the road. You're at home. And what we learned was being at home meant nothing in these two games.
Exactly.
And so I think that's the combo. And then when they came out flat, wasn't hitting the counter, Chivas smart, took advantage of everything, and they got those emotional goals. You know, like that's why I made it so difficult once they scored. And I didn't anticipate that. I thought they were going to be a little bit more erratic, you know, make no mistake. They did everything right until obviously América finally got back on the board. But yeah, it was a little, you know, there was nerves flowing when they got that first one. You're like, come on, man, like that was so easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You felt like there was mistakes after mistakes after mistakes, and not just the goals, but you know, the plays leading up to the goals that Chivas scored on us. It just seemed to be an off night for everyone. And look, we were very heated at the day of, maybe even a couple of days afterwards. I think it's been it's been a good solid week almost that we can kind of, okay, with cooler heads, talk about what went wrong. Because I do feel like the players came out, were very overconfident. And it doesn't help that the fact that you do have this huge margin, that three-goal margin, you're thinking they have to score four on us just to, you know, and they're thinking, and we need to not score. And I feel like they're very confident that America was going to get on the board. So it was frustrating to watch from a perspective that it brought you back to that moment in where the ghost of the Liguilla's past was coming back to haunt you. And you thought, no, not again, not like this, like that. You have to go out and you have to fight for this game. I get that there was a huge gap and a huge margin of that could possibly mean that you're comfortable coming into this game. But you're America. You don't have that luxury. Like you have to go out there and you have to perform week in and week out, game after game after game. So for me, the frustrating thing about it was the fact that you were watching these 11 players out on the pitch and no one seemed to be able to kind of grab the game by the neck and be like, all right, like no one was kind of like grabbing it. Someone else would be like, hey, come on, wake up. Like we got to get ourselves back into this. Like there was just no sense of leadership and there was no self-awareness on that pitch either, because honestly, it took until the second half for us to wake up.
Yeah. And I remember the second goal. I think I tweeted four yellow jerseys couldn't mark that one player. And that's what scared me a little bit, where I was like, they're looking at each other. They're like, oh, this isn't good. Now, I did have faith that a goal was coming for America. I did have faith in that. But in that moment, you're like, that is such a colossal hiccup that you just cannot make in a pivotal game, a rivalry game, and one that you really should be in cruise control. Like, you don't, you can't make that mistake on a dead ball situation. And lo and behold, and like I said previously, I was like, you got to give Chivas one thing in that first game. They were showing some threat on that throughout the air, whether, you know, a cross or the dead ball, whatever. There was some, you know, there was a formula there, and then they, you know, showed up, you know, in the second leg to do it. But at the end of the day, you're like you were saying, the second half is when things started to get a little bit more momentum on the America side, but that still took too long.
Yeah, ridiculously too long. Chris Maria is saying, can't say how much that game frustrated me. It's like they almost had PTSD of the last semifinal. Ricardo saying, the second leg reminded me of the semifinal against San Luis. America thought Chivas were dead on arrival. And, you know, it's funny that we get these comments, because I literally was mentioning to this to you guys when we were previewing this game. It was like, I don't want to see a repeat of what we saw against Chivas in the semifinal. I don't want to see a repeat of what we saw against San Luis. Like, I get it. You have, quote unquote, the ticket into the next round, but you still have to go play those 90 minutes because you never know what's going to happen. And lo and behold, America showcased that, yeah, look, we were capable of kind of fumbling the bag here if we didn't get our stuff together. And for me, we spoke about America being top three in the CONCACAF Champions Cup favorites to win it. After that performance, Brian, I don't know if we dropped down to like top five, because it did not showcase the same kind of energy. Now, I don't know if I'm being a little bit too drastic with kind of putting us lower in the ranks, but it just, these type of games just don't fill you with so much confidence, right? Because it's essence of what happened against Real Esteli. It's essence of other games that have come before this that you're just thinking, we're better than this. Why are we putting ourselves in a situation where we're, you know, pinned against the wall, when literally all we had to do was just play an ounce of defensive football and we would have been fine?
No, 100%. And it's, I want to, although I don't have that confidence, to say, look, it's a massive rivalry. So you're going to get that extreme heat coming your way. I thought they were going to deflect it, and I thought the lineup was going to be different. But even then, we should still score with Valdez or, you know, Quiñones early, but we couldn't. And that does frighten me a little bit. However, like moving forward, I would like I had us at three. I said three, not one or two. I said three. I still feel like they're there. The one thing I'm hoping is moving forward when you're really into the championship moments, that's gone. Yeah. I just hope like all that, we're okay, we're up, you know, it's 1-0. No. You have to go to kill. You have to kill in this tournament. And that's what I'm hoping they're kind of like getting more of a grasp. Because like I said, in that first half, I Malagón didn't look good. I didn't think Fidalgo looked great. I didn't think the attack
was good at all. No one. Just was even like, Ramón Juárez, who we praised so well, had a nightmare of a game.
Yeah, and it was like I said, when they looked at each other, it was like, come on, don't make that look. I hate that look of like,
Yeah, like, you didn't have him? I thought you had him.
Yeah. Exactly. It was like the national team in the knockout. There's that one moment where everyone looks at each other. And you're like, God, come on, guys. You know, like, yeah. That was that. But I'm hoping absolutely. That it's corrected and there's more of a an overall control when you're in the, like I said, in the championship moments of this cup.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you hope that this is a learning lesson at the end of the day, because these matches coming up, they're not going to be easy. And I know we already have our next rival, right, which is New England Revolution. And anyone who's going to do a quick Google search is just going to be like, well, they're bottom of the table. Like, what should we be worried about? But it's not necessarily the form that they're in. It's just sometimes we put ourselves in situations where we can't get ourselves out of. And so, you know, we'll talk about it when we get closer to the day of, obviously, the whole switcheroony with the first leg and the second leg, which still craziest thing I've ever seen, to be honest. But you know, America was given an opportunity to close it. So you're going to think that, okay, you have a very intense first leg coming up in Boston. And now you have to go out there and showcase that, you know, you learn from your prior mistakes and close out the game at home. So I do feel like this was hopefully a learning experience for everyone. Christian Murray is saying, I was very surprised how uncoordinated Juárez and Lichnowsky partnership was, especially since they were the starting center backs for that 4-0 last year. Which is true. You know, these two worked tremendously well. But we'll see. Ricardo saying Juárez had a horrible second leg game. Juárez and everyone else. I mean, Malagón, who has been probably top three best players in the whole league for us, is looked just a shadow of himself. I mean, that second goal, Brian, if he's just like two steps into the center, because he drifted, I don't know why he drifted so much to the right. It's just two steps to the other to the center and he gets there. It was just a horrible night, one to forget. But I do think the one thing that we can kind of highlight and kind of grasp onto is the fact that when America wants to play, they are a threat going forward, and they seem to just kind of slice defenses like if they were butter. You know, when they want to, they are capable of just being prolific and scary good in front of goal. Because you saw that. You saw them get back into the rim of the things, and I still think that this America played at like a 75% in total, right? It wasn't like a full 100% America. So I think there is maybe some positives to go into, right? America grew into the game. We get a goal back. Then right afterwards, slowly but surely, we get that second. Once they scored that second goal, I think everyone was like, okay, game, match, set, and done, right? Even though I know Chivas goes and scores like literally right after that, they still have a mountain to climb with less minutes to do so. So you're thinking, okay, we kind of got the job done. It was just a very ugly way to do so.
No, and like I said, once they got one goal, I was like, okay, that's a little bit of pressure off. The second one was good. I was actually very okay, given how the game started, to end with a draw. But yeah, that next goal was like, again, like you really just couldn't.
No one picked up the man.
Yeah, and nothing, yeah. Nothing went right. And at the end of the day, that second goal was the nail. But then Chivas goes, all right, we won the game. we don't advance. You know, we were down a lot, and that moved to the next, where that, you know, now there's more question marks for America instead of steamrolling, and you're going into the third going, I'm fine, let's go, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting here. I want to ask a question after reading this comment. Jardine needs to play with Javairo in Diego's position whenever he's not on the field. Ame gets predictable on offense without him. Brian, I think you mentioned it. Javairo kind of was the player to play in this game. And I do agree with the counterattacking opportunities that we had. And feel like he would have brought some life into this America side. Not to say that, you know, Sendejas was poor in any sense, but you see that Javairo offers you a little bit something more on the tempo side of things. Why do you think we don't see a Javairo in this second leg? And why don't we see him sooner in the Clásico on Saturday?
Unfortunately, I have no idea, because that was an X factor for me in the second, anticipating a quick burst of energy in the first 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, which happened. And then you really thrive with, in my opinion, Quiñones, Henry, Javairo. I think you would hit a counter so easily. And he's not just a one-trick pony, kick the ball and let him go. He can make a really good cut move. He can find somebody. He's got a good enough pass to find a threatening player. I hope we see more of him, especially, you know, in the next part of this, you know, CONCACAF Cup. I think he needs to get more minutes, because just to me, he's got plenty. Now, you can say he's still getting worked into the system, but we saw the previous weekend he looked great. So I was ready to go for him to get minutes, especially since that would have been the time to get, you know, his shining moment.
I absolutely agree. And I was fathomless, like, why Jardine? And Chris mentions, you know, I'm not sure why Jardine forgot that he could make substitutions. It's just true. He has this tendency of making really, really late substitutions. Yeah. I don't know why. It's been a trend since he's been with us. And I don't know. Do you like this little trend that he has, that he'll kind of close games out, not really risk much? Like, for example, the Chivas game on Saturday was still 0-0. He closed it out, took out Henry, brought in Fuentes, kind of said, all right, we're going to defend this till the end. Maybe get a counter going if possible, but that's not very America DNA-esque. You know, we're not the type of team that will sit back and kind of collect a point if all three are capable of being grabbed. So I don't know. I question as to whether people are okay with these instances of Jardine kind of closing games out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to wonder. I'm like wondering, is this kind of like a workload management type thing just for right now? And then as you get into more, you know, like I said, the championship part of league and the cup, will there be more strategic moves earlier on, like 65th minute? I think you've, in my opinion, the 65th minute is that time where you really need to have a guy in mind to make a move. And yeah, it's very strange. Well, you're like, okay, this attacking player looks burnt out. This guy over here, out of ideas. Like, make that one move. So that's like I said, maybe there's some sort of workload management going on, but I don't really care for it either. That being said, you know, that's one of those question marks left after this series with Chivas, in my opinion.
No, I completely agree. There's question marks in regards to both what the manager has done and what the players have been producing on the pitch. So again, we'll have to wait and see. It was a frantic and very, very heavy past 2 weeks for America. A lot of games, a lot of highly contested matches. And some of these guys only got to rest really one day whenever they didn't see the pitch against Tigres. So yeah, there's a lot of X factors here, but at the end of the day, I think the bigger picture, like we mentioned at the beginning, was America gets through to the next round, which ultimately means that, okay, job well done. In a broader perspective, right, I think the objective was, okay, America gets through to the next round and we stay top four in the league. you kind of take both of those boxes, saying, okay, kind of mission accomplished, right? Wasn't the prettiest of ways. Some would even argue that maybe we even kind of stumbled our way across the finish line. But hey, the job got done. And now you can kind of collectively regroup during the international break, get some well-deserved rest, and then look ahead into what's going to be another frantic 2-3 weeks for America as the league comes close to an end and as CONCACAF Champions Cup gets even closer to that kind of championship-esque moments of the season.
Right.
So, well, that is America versus Chivas, the second leg, right? 5-3 aggregate. I guess wasn't pretty, but job well done, I guess, at the end of the day. Now we shift focus into Saturday's matchup. And Brian, I don't know if this is just me personally, but after, like, once Saturday came and it was almost game time, it kind of, I'm not going to lie, I felt fatigued. I was like, we're playing this game again? Like, oh my goodness, like, how many more of these games are we going to have? It just felt like it was a nonstop kind of matchup. And it's weird because usually Clásicos are intense and you want to see them being played out and all of this stuff, but I'm not gonna lie to you. I think I had Clásico fatigue.
I think we all did. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, on a Saturday night, Chivas America is great. You know, it's exciting. But after those two very beat down games with a lot of emotion, a lot of heat, and pressure on both sides, Saturday was a little weird. And as I tweeted, I said, hey, both teams were looking for a home run, didn't show up, and they went fully fatigued themselves. And I'm like, and that's the negative for the Mexican League in this cup. They had America, I think, had 4 games in 10 days. That's not an advantage for anybody. And now we have an injury on our hands. So when you look at this Saturday game, I think, that 55th, 60, 65th minute, I was like, I don't really see anything coming out of this.
Yeah, I think it showed its true face at the end, roughly around that time frame, 65th minute. You kind of felt like, okay, from an America perspective, you thought, I don't think we're going to create much more. Even if, you know, I was hoping to see Javairo sooner. I was thinking maybe just that will spark a little bit more of energy. But we didn't see him until like almost the 80th minute. And I was like, okay, this is nothing at this point. So I will say this, America started off very well in the first half. And I think maybe that was the idea, was let's give it all we got in the first half. Let's go ahead and go at them. Do what we did right in that first leg, create these chances, put them to bed. Cause honestly, America could have walked away 3-0 in the first half, right? If it wasn't for a good shot, a good goalkeeping save here and there, some poor misses here and there. Honestly, America could have walked out with a vast advantage into the second half. But you felt like miss after miss after miss. It just kept becoming a trend, and you thought, it's going to be one of these games, you know? Yeah. It's going to be one of these games where the ball's just kind of not going in the back of the net, and we're really not going to find anything. I never really once feared that Chivas was going to be as threatening as they were, let's say, like Wednesday, because it looked like they were a little bit short of ideas as well. They kind of were banking on the set piece situation as well, but defensively, I think bringing Cáceres back into the fold of it was I think what kind of completed America defensively speaking. But yeah, I mean, how did you see that game overall?
It was kind of like you said, on the one end, on the attack, when you're not putting these chances away, that wears things down, wears down on your confidence. However, on the other side, the way the defense and midfield to its own extent was more prepared for the onslaught that came its way, especially, like I said, this is still a rivalry game, and you don't want what happened in the second leg of the cup game where, okay, the wings are wide open, and then the defenders are not communicating with the midfield. I felt like they sorted that out. And like you said, bringing Casares back in, that helps. Getting more of an attacking threat, that helps. But back to your point, when you're not putting that away, confidence goes low. And I know Chivas, you got Chicharito out there. There's, there's that flair to the game. But then they weren't really putting much threat on the game either. I think towards those last 20 minutes, so I felt like it just was wrapped up. And then they subbed out, Cowell. And I know, they weren't really thrilled with that. At that point, and like you said, and then bringing in Javairo in the 80th minute, well, he's not going to get molded into this game. It's not going to unfold great for him like that. You might get two really good, long ball opportunities for him to take on a defender. That didn't even really transpire. So it's like you can't really expect him to do anything like that either. So to your point, yeah, it just fizzled out both sides, especially the last 20 minutes for me.
Yeah, I think that's got to be one of the most boring clasicos from a neutral perspective. Because if you're watching it, if you're an America fan and you're a Chivas fan, that game wasn't necessarily boring, right? I think both sides had something to kind of grasp at.
For us, it was like, oh, it's still, it's still, like I said, it's a Saturday rivalry game. You want to watch.
Exactly.
So
you're kind of invested in it and making sure that your team comes out on top. If you're a neutral, you're watching this, you're like, well, this is terrible. No one really put the ball in the back of the net. So, I mean, yeah. Do you think at the end of the day, a draw is a sustainable result for America and it's not obviously the end of the world?
Again, given the fact that you had three of those games so close together, like there was no break. It just was Chivas and Chivas and Chivas. Getting a point on the road, at the end of the day, we're going to look back and be like, that's fine. It's fine. Like, and to me, you want to win all three. Don't get me wrong. I wanted to win all three or win, draw. That's fine too. But this does set up for a good, rekindling of the hate between the sides later on. Because now both sides are like a little bit hungry. Like we could have done better, but fatigue set in, ideas were lacking, and three games in a row is just harsh on anybody.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Alexis saying it was a snooze fest, but I feel for AJ. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when this game ended for him, so he was ready to go to bed.
It was literally a snooze fest.
So feel bad for AJ covering that game. Yeah, I think in hindsight, a draw. If you were to ask us at the beginning of the season, would you take a draw against Chivas in the league? Not knowing what was going to come in between those matches, I don't think anyone would have said yes. But in hindsight now, you're thinking, it's not the worst result. We didn't lose. We didn't drop positions. And we kind of stay in that top four spot, right? Second place, actually. So I do believe that there is something tangible here to walk away from and be like, okay, we can look back at it and say this was important, right? And yeah, we'll see where this all unfolds at the end of the season. But priorities are definitely set straight, and that is CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then from there, you kind of just mosey your way through the league, and once it hits the guia, then okay, boom, hit the ground running.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and like you mentioned, the fatigue kind of set in, and I think these guys were looking forward to this international break because they're just like, we need some rest here.
Yeah, for sure. But there's still a big test coming. Like, don't get me wrong. America, sure, you should be favored in this next round, but I don't take it lightly either, too.
No, by no means necessary. Absolutely not. But yeah, that was the classical hangover. Chivas after Chivas, and one more Chivas after that. But hey, at the end of the day, like we mentioned, bigger picture, the job got done. And so the little nuances that we can pick at here and there, I guess we'll reserve them for when we resume back to play. And if they're still there, then there's things that need to be addressed. But if you hit the ground running and you kind of blow out San Luis out of the water, and then you blow New England out of the water, then you're kind of thinking, okay, we're back in business. So,
and if that happens, then you need to don't make the mistake of the second leg.
know? Yeah. No, like don't I said, that has to be, yeah, that has to be a learning moment. Like, it has to be. Yeah. Like, I don't know why San Luis wasn't a learning experience for them. I'm guessing because we lifted a trophy after that they just kind of forget. But yeah, no, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we cut it a little bit too close there. We need to make sure that this doesn't happen again. Like, I'm not expecting, okay, you won the first leg 3-0. I'm not expecting you to go out there and win 3-4-0 again. No, I'm just expecting you to play a really good game in where you don't necessarily, you don't even have to strain yourself. Like, the opponent has to be the one running at you and trying to climb that mountain. You just have to weather the storm and be smart. Like, play simple football. Like, that's all you needed to do. But I still, I don't know what happened, but hey, all I hope is, like we mentioned, it was a learning experience and we don't see that again, hopefully. So,
Right.
But yeah, talking about club news though, you did mention the biggest thing, the biggest upset was the fact that we lose Diego Valdez. And it's so imminent that America is just one with him and one without him. Like, attacking wise, I just, this team runs out of ideas so short, so quickly, that it kind of worries you. Like, hey, like, what's gonna happen if Diego Valdez isn't on the pitch? And look, I don't think this is a moment for America fans to panic, because I do want to remind everyone, we did not have a Diego Valdez for a good amount of time last season when we ended up eventually becoming champions. So it's not to say that this America side can't get results or that we can't play good without our number 10, but it's no doubt that this America side is better because of Diego Valdez being on the pitch. So when he goes down and gets injured and you see the substitution, Brian, what's going through your head?
Well, I mean, it goes back to, is this part of that fatigue of 4 games, 10 days, and the muscles are worn down, you know, and or is there something more nefarious going on? I try not to think too much about that, because it seemed like he was moving around but still just not quite right. So I was like, there's some hope there, you know, there's nothing like too crazy. He still, I think, went on the bench to watch the game.
Yeah.
But it's, can America win without him? Yes. It goes back to their mindset, though. When you lose a piece like that, how's their mindset moving forward? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I need to have answered moving, you know, to the next league game and then to the back to the cup again.
The thing with me is Harina needs to find an answer to the missing piece. That is, there is no natural substitution for Valdez. Like, you try to put in Sendejas, it kind of works for like 10 minutes and then it just disappears. Not to say this, it's not because of Sendejas. I think it's just the rhythm and the way that Valdez plays the game is much more different to what Sendejas is offering you. He's not a natural cam.
Right.
Right. And your other kind of quote unquote backup that you used to play in that position, you sold to Pumas. So Now you don't have a natural substitution there. In other cases, we use Quiñones there, but I do feel like that wasn't Quiñones' strong suit, that he kind of disappeared in moments, right? He wants to drift and then kind of cut in. So that wing is perfect for him. So I do kind of worry, what is the answer going to be for America? Are we going to stick with that same formation? Do we possibly go with a 4-4-2? Is there a way to kind of circumcise, like really kind of vet the situation, think, okay, how is it that we can bestly outproduce and come out with the best outcome in these situations? And so I am curious to see what Harden is going to plan. And so we'll have to wait and see from that perspective. There was a question, though. I want to bring it up here. It was for Chris. He's saying, is Valdez out for both legs? I'm assuming he means the CONCACAF Champions Cup. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks. Brian said he can get him back in 5 days, but America is still yet to answer our email.
There's an issue with the plane.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can't fly Boeing. I can't fly Boeing right now.
No, just absolutely not. America's trying to find that workaround, but it's a little bit difficult. I think Diego Valdez has had a tendency of, you know, getting these injuries, and you see the extensive period be those that last 3 week period. So I do expect it to be 3 weeks. So that would mean that he would only miss the first leg. He would be back in time for the second leg, and he would be in time for the game against Toluca. So we'll see. Fingers crossed, though, that he comes back a little bit sooner. Obviously, he's not going to be played in anything, even if he's ready in like a week or two. They're going to take their time with Valdez to make sure he comes back fit and ready, just the way they did last season when he was out after the Toluca game. So we'll see what happens. We'll update you guys as we get more information.
And I was going to say, like, I wouldn't want him in that first leg, even if he's like, oh, I'm good. Like, no, just we need to weather the storm and create ideas. And this is the part of the season you need to be doing stuff like that. So get fully 100% better, and we'll see you hopefully by the second. So
yeah, we'll see you at the stack up for the second leg.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be interesting to see how that recovery does go. For me, though, the frustrating thing about it is Diego Valdez has been an amazing player for many guys. Just the man does not seem to stay a whole season fit. Like, he goes down a little bit too often for me. And that's a worrisome sign that maybe we need to address in the summer. Not necessarily say let him go, but you do need to start thinking about the future of, okay, eventually there's going to have to be a replacement for him, because he's getting up there in age, and he's a little bit fragile. So, but yeah, still.
And we just sold a player, so we need to start thinking
about
what's coming, because you don't want to have that downtime of just not enough depth. Even though you have a good team, not enough depth, not enough creativity. That's a little worrisome. But again, one step at a time. You have to take a stoic approach. All you can deal with is what today is. So right now, just heal up, and we'll see you once the international break is done.
Absolutely. Last thing I have here for club news. It's an odd one, Brian. It's a real odd one. So America last week announced that they have now a new integration into the club. It's kind of very forward thinking. Is this whole AI, America is the name of the new AI engine that America is kind of pursuing to be the bridge between, this is their words, a bridge between the fans and the team. It was very broad in the way that they spoke about it. Not necessarily, well, she said that she's going to interview players, that she'll be asking them our questions as fans. My question to you, Brian, is this even necessary?
I don't even know. Like, I saw clips of this, like, AI character, but I don't, I don't understand the implementation of it in the most random time of the season.
Exactly.
Maybe this is just something that goes by the wayside, and it's like they're just testing something out, but I'm as clueless as most people right now with that.
It gives me one of those, like, it's going to be one of those things where America tries something that they want to kind of jump on the hype train and eventually falters. Like when they, like, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a point in time where esports starting to become a thing, and America wanted to so badly get into the world of esports. And at the moment, the big thing was pro clubs. So America held auditions to be part of their pro clubs team and whatnot. That faltered, by the way. Never saw the light of day after like a couple of games. And then, you know, I remember that they said they were going to come, and when the whole hype of English language for Liga MX, America announced that they were going to open up an office in New York, and that they were going to, you know, kind of have that, and again, faltered. Never heard anything else about that. So this kind of gives me those type of vibes where it's like America's trying to jump on the hype train, and America's trying to, like, oh, AI is the thing, right? Everyone's talking about AI, AI this, AI that they're going to be like, we're going to jump on top of it, and yeah, but we'll see what happens.
Follow through just doesn't make much sense
at all. I don't like how is this going to be integrated? Like, is it going to be through their mobile app? Is it going to be like a dedicated like website that you go to? Like, there was, I'm telling you, the most broadest way to announce it. Like honestly, like Henry Martin was laughing because I don't think he understood what was going on.
I know. And it goes back. I mean, this type of thing goes back, and this is not like a fad. It goes back to the stock market, right? Why is everybody so confused? By the way, it hit $30 today, so that's good. So we've got a little bit more up, so that's good. But again, it goes to why is information so scattered and weird with this club outside of just signing, this guy's okay, he's healthy, and that's everything else is so confusing.
Yeah, this, well, maybe this AI robot is going to be our ticket into into actually getting some actual bulletproof information. I just don't understand why you got to be so broad about it. And to be honest, none of the reporters, I think, even asked a follow-up question, because they just wanted to talk about the Clásico that was coming up. Like, they were like, you know, no one's thinking about this and be like, hey, you know what, this is awesome, let me ask. Like, it's weird. And I only wanted to mention it because I just think that America has this tendency of doing things that doesn't pan out for them. And I just really want to know why integrate this? Like, we're not a tech-based club. Like, you know, like, just look at our stadium. It's not the most up-to-date. Obviously, it's going to get remodeled, but still, like, it's we're not the most tech-savvy institution.
Well, pro clubs makes more sense than that. Obviously, it's gone.
Yes, no, of course. Yeah,
that would make more sense than this. Strange. This is like Black Mirror Liga MX.
Yes, it's very. I think you put it perfectly. It's like Black Mirror and America just combined together, and we'll see how it plays out, because it's been dead silent since the day of the announcement. Like, there's nothing else regarding this AI chat box. So
yeah, she got unplugged.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Ricardo's saying, can we expect an AI version of the Eagle Eye podcast? Who knows? We might have to jump on the train. But yeah, that's a
strange one for me.
That was a strange one. I just wanted to bring it up. But all right, let's wrap up the show with talking about the upcoming friendly that America has against Cruz Azul. And I know what everyone's thinking, oh God, another game for America to kind of play. And don't worry, though. I do think that this game is a breath of fresh air for America, because Jardine gets to play a couple of the youngsters. We get to see a couple of them, like Bruce, El Masmari. Yeah. I think if I said that correctly, I'm not too sure. Get to see, hopefully, Mozumbito. I know that's someone you're keeping an eye on, right? Yeah, Naveda getting some minutes.
Well, that's the number one. I actually wanted to see more of him in against Chivas, but I want to. Yeah, let's see what he's got.
Yeah, look, I think this game is one and mainly for the fans to go show up. It's actually sold out, right? So expecting well over 27,000 people come Saturday at Dignity Health Sports Park. But it's a chance to kind of continue the rhythm, right? It's an international break, so they don't train as hard and they don't train as often as you do during the regular league week. And so these guys will get plenty of rest. I expect some of the starters to start, but they're only going to get like 45 minutes, Brian, just to kind of keep that rhythm going. Yeah. And then you're going to see the last 30 minutes flooded with youngsters, which I'm going to have no idea. They're going to be like 178 and onwards, classic. Like 232, like that, those type of numbers. But your thoughts on this friendly against Cruz Azul?
Yeah, I mean, that's the perfect time is to see younger names. I mean, we're going to see some regulars too. I mean, the fans want to come out and see that too. However, you know, it's a Saturday game, like you said, for the fans. I still think we have some players that are younger who need to get minutes. And if they can impress here, that'd be great. That's pretty much all you can really look forward to in an exhibition like this.
I am looking forward to, I always look forward to these games, especially if I get to go cover them, which I am, thankfully. It's just a great atmosphere. I love experiencing the fans, the tailgates, you know, everyone just kind of buzzing. The kids are always one of my favorite. They're just, you know, so excited to you know, to be going to the stadium, watching these players. And so it's just a great, great overall moment. And so I'm excited for that perspective. And I'm also excited to see, like you mentioned, some of the youngsters. And I'm curious to see if Harina is going to take the time to experiment a little bit with the players that he does have at his disposal, which he does have a good amount. It's not to say that a lot of players traveled for international break. But I do expect to see some kind of tinkering as to trying to figure out, what am I going to do without a Diego Valdez, you know? Is Senecas is going to be available to play in this game. So is he going to play him at the cam, you know, play Javairo on the right? I'm excited to see him in person. He looks to be,
that'd be cool. That'd
a real
be
treat.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's the time to do it, right? If you're going to need to explore that option, or do you switch the formation totally because of the situation with the injury? I mean, that's what you got to use this for. And then, is there a younger name that's, you know, really going to stand out? That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm going to be looking for. You got to utilize it like that. So it should be fun. Just you know, right before the week going into the international games, to explore. But hopefully everything goes smoothly, you know, at the end of the day.
Absolutely, yeah. The one thing you want is a safe environment where the players do not get injured by any means necessary. And we'll see. I mean, these games are fun. I mean, last season we had America Chivas at the Rose Bowl, and that was a fun game. Great outcome, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw that great Quiñones goal. But these games have something, right? And I think they have a little bit more meaning when it's like a Clásico rather than kind of these two random Liga MX team pit together, yeah, just to sell some seats at a stadium. Right. So we'll see. But yeah, like I mentioned, look, I'm going to be there. Make sure you guys, if you guys do see me, stop by, say hi. It'd be great to chat with you guys. Be taking pictures, taking video, uploading them over to Twitter. So make sure you guys keep it on our Twitter and Instagram. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on, pregame, postgame, all of that good stuff. And yeah, should be fun. Can't wait. Absolutely can't wait. And then for those of you who are not going to be in Southern California for this one, you guys can catch this game on TUDN, as all Tour Aguila games are. Game's going to be at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but I do expect that game to start closely to about 6 o'clock.
And they're already advertising 5 p.m. I already saw that, so thankfully.
You saw that 5 p.m., yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. No, they.
Especially for a friendly like that. Come on. Come on, guys.
Like, yeah, we got the, we got an email with the deets, with the details of it all, and they have here kickoff 5:30, so. They said that last year too, and it was closer to like the 6 o'clock. So I expect it to be in that
sense.
Don't
rush. There's no rush for this.
Yeah, don't rush. Like if you're at the stadium, don't rush. You'll be fine. Get your snacks, get your drinks. If you're at home, prepare the barbecue perfectly. There's no need to rush. But yeah, look, looking forward to this one. Should be good. It's always good to have America, even though there's an international break. And yeah, we'll see. Hopefully a good outcome at the end of the day. Brian, I'm going to ask you this just because I don't really get to talk Mexico with you often here. What are you expecting for on Thursday, the outcome? Do you think this is going to be a substantial victory by Mexico? Or will we see Jaime Lozano's side struggle a little bit against Panama?
Oh, boy. I don't even really know what to expect. There's a lot of names I like. There's a lot of opportunity at hand. I know Panama wants to come out and punch us in the face because they were sour over Gold Cup and how that finished on a, you know, crazy goal. But I think America will, I mean, not America, Mexico will take care of it. I don't know if it's going to be a huge win. I'd say Mexico 2-0. Although I just said that for America and that didn't happen. So I'm going to still stick with it. I see a 2-0 coming. But I'm interested. I'm interested to see some of the America guys get out there, you know, link up with, you know, some of the Euro players. I know there's not many left, but what scares me is the next one, because I just hope
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I just, if they win this and it's you know, the rivalry again, man, that Vegas game does not sit well with me. How horrible that was.
Like, yeah.
It was scary. So, yeah, I still think Mexico 2-0. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I just hope we see a better rhythm, more of the old-school Mexico DNA. So,
who gets more minutes, Henry or Quiñones? Because let's face it, they're both not going to be starters under Jaime right now. But who gets more minutes at the end of the day?
That's an interesting one. I actually think it's going to be Quiñones, to be honest. I think he's going to try him out a little bit differently. I think he wants him and Santi to get some sort of chemistry. I think they could have some, you know, have something there. But I don't rule out seeing Henry either, because, you know, when he's on, he's on. So it'll be interesting nonetheless. So a lot to look out, you know, I mean, look forward to for this Thursday international, both sides, both of the semifinals.
Be interesting. All right. Well, and then a last question, finally, if Mexico were to lose at any point of this Nations League, is it the end of Jaime Lozano?
That's a good, I would say it depends on how bad the loss is.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If you lose to Panama and it's now that side's 2-0, that'd be rough.
It's a fireable offense.
Real rough. But if you get forward, you get to this quote unquote final and you get smoked by the U.S. again. I know that he wasn't in charge in the last one, but man, that's going into Copa America with
a very sour taste.
Cuts all over your body and blistered and bruised, and it's not going to look good. Yeah. This is a really rough low point, in my opinion, for Mexico, because there's still a lot of talent, yet the execution's poor. There's some names I don't like to see called up. Some people disagree with me. Some people agree with me. Okay, whatever. But I want to see a better flowing Mexico. That 2019 year, I felt like Mexico had it, and then post-COVID, everything fell off. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, we'll see if they can get back into the rhythm. Chris saying, put in Cade Colwell.
Yeah.
Oh. In regard to saying, put in Dreyfus. Look at that. Absolutely what we need. Well, that Mexico game is going to be on Thursday, so we'll make sure to check in on Brian and his blood pressure to make sure that they're that he's doing okay. My blood pressure
machine is right over here too, so.
So, all right, you're well prepared and ready to go. Well, with that said, I think that's pretty much it. We'll be back next week, talk all things Club America, get you guys ready for that Atlético San Luis game, and then after that, the following week after that, we'll get you guys ready for the CONCACAF Champions Cup. No more Wednesday's game, Brian. We're going moving to Tuesday. Should be a fun one. So we'll see what happens there. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Brian, for making the time, talking all things Club America. Always great to have you on the pod.
Yep, thanks for having me again.
And to all of you in the chat, Chris, Ricardo, Alexis, AP Jr., all of you guys, really, thank you so much. Chris, Ramirez, everyone, thank you so much for taking out the time, hanging out with us, talking all things Club America. I'll see you guys hopefully on Saturday, whoever ends up going to Dignity Health Sports Park. If you're not there, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. I'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América. And until then, you guys take care. And as always, Arriba la América. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast, the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.